Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We'd like to welcome you to this service today. We are turning to Romans chapter 10, commencing to read at verse 1 from the Authorized Version. Let us hear the Word of God together. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know that God will stamp with his own approval and blessing this reading of the Holy Scriptures. Let us pray together. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this service here today, and we commend it to thee in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We crave a conscious sense of thy divine presence by faith. We ask thee that it will please thee to draw near. We thank thee for the word of God that we have read together, and we pray now that the blessed Holy Spirit himself will come and illuminate for us this secret page. And we pray, Lord, that thy word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path at this time. And we call out unto thee in the confidence that thou dost hear and answer prayer. I pray now for fresh cleansing in the blood. I pray, Lord, for the quickening help of thy blessed Holy Spirit. And we desire, Lord, that thy word will have free course, and that thou will use it, Lord, to convict sinners of their need of Christ, and to build up and strengthen saints in their most holy faith. Lord, hear and answer this our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. My text tonight is taken from Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And my theme is understanding God's invitation to man. Now, this is a wonderful text of Holy Scripture, one that is well known and familiar to God's people everywhere. In fact, it's a quotation of the prophet Joel in the end of Joel chapter 2, verse 32. It's also quoted by the Apostle Peter, Acts 2 and 21, as he preached Christ in the day of Pentecost. Now, this text is a portion of Scripture that's often used by the gospel preacher to teach and instruct individuals on how to be saved. Preachers use this text to urge awakened souls to come to Christ. And as I looked at this text of Scripture, there were four things came to mind. The first thing I see here is the necessity of the invitation. Think of the words, shall be saved. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul used the word saved. That was the very same word that the Apostle Peter used as he preached Christ in the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:21. It's an important Bible word. The Lord Jesus himself used the same word in his ministry, John 10 and 9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. This word was often in the lips of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. Think of Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the word saved is a Bible word, a very important Bible word. And why do I stress that? For this reason, many liberals, many modernistic preachers, many charismatic preachers don't like this word. They don't use the word saved. They don't talk about salvation in their preaching. They talk about committing your life to Christ, coming under new management, turning over a new leaf. Sadly, they view the word saved as meaningless religious jargon. But I want to tell you, it's not. It's a Holy Ghost-inspired word. Isn't it interesting that the prophet Joel used the word delivered in Joel 2 and 32? And if you would examine its contextual use, you would discover that it means a deliverance from the impending wrath of God in the last days. Therefore, in its usage, it's a reference to a spiritual deliverance from the wrath of God. Now think of this word saved. What does it mean? When Peter used it, when Paul used it, when the Lord Jesus used it, what did they mean by it? Will you think of an individual trapped in a burning building and they're about to be engulfed in that enraging inferno and they're calling out for help? Well, what do they need? They need to be saved. They need to be rescued and delivered from that burning building. Or think of an individual that's drowning in a river or a lake, and they call out, help. Well, what are they asking for? They're asking to be saved, to be delivered from the watery grave. Well, you see, that's how the Bible really understands the word saved in a spiritual sense. If I was to ask this day, what is man's greatest need? And I'm going to answer it in this way, to be saved. And what does that mean? It means saved from the penalty and the power and the pleasure and the very presence of sin itself. In other words, when the Bible uses the word saved in a spiritual context, it means saved from sin and its eternal consequences. And if we follow the reading, Romans 10, it's used in verse 1, it's used in verse 9, it's used in verse 13. So every time Paul used it, he had the same meaning in view, saved from sin's penalty, which is eternal and spiritual death. Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Saved from sin's power. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. And as the hymn writer said, his blood avails for me. And more than that, he saves us from sin's pleasure. He takes the love of sinning out of our hearts when we're born again of the Holy Spirit and placed into Christ, and we have a new nature. We now have a heart that hates sin, that mourns sin, that loathes sin, and loves righteousness. And although we'll never be sinlessly perfect, we strive in our desire to die unto sin and live more and more unto righteousness. And glory to God, one day we'll be saved from sin's presence. See, all who are found in Christ one day shall be with Christ in heaven forever and ever. We're not only is our soul saved, but one day these old bodies, they're going to be saved as well. The Bible talks about the redemption of our bodies. And in the day of resurrection, we'll be given a new body like unto Christ's glorious body, and body and soul forever will be with the Lord. Think of the context here. He says in chapter 10, verse 12, "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." He mentions here the Jew and the Greek. You see, let's remember that we're all sinners before God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's remember that all of us, of men and women, were connected to Adam naturally. It's not what the Bible teaches there in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, "And have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." See, Adam was the first man. And Adam's really the father of humanity. We didn't come from apes. We didn't come from monkeys. We can trace our genealogy all the way back to the first man, Adam. In fact, the name Adam means humanity. And we're also connected to Adam representatively, for God treats us and views us in Adam. And not only that, but we're connected to Adam spiritually, because the Bible says, "As in Adam, all die." See, that brings us to the subject of death, physically and spiritually and eternally. Why? Because of our sinfulness. Remember, we're all sinners. We have broken and violated God's law. We're sinners by nature and practice. What is sin? The Catechism tells us sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. Sin is knowing to do good and not doing it. In fact, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. It says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We think of sin as murder, and we think of adultery, and we think of theft and incest and sodomy. And these are all vile, heinous sins. But do you know that not loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength is a sin? Knowing to do good and doing it not is sin. Not believing in him, not knowing him, and not trusting in him as Lord and Savior. Because the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. And remember, we're not only all sinners and all connected to Adam, but we've all got an immortal soul. And the Lord Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And you see, in light of this commonality, that we're all sinners, that we're all connected to Adam naturally and representatively and spiritually, in light of the fact that we've got an immortal soul and we're accountable to a holy and just God, then all men need to be saved. They need to be delivered from the wrath to come. In fact, the Bible tells us, flee from the wrath to come. There's a story told about Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great Welsh preacher. He was in an Anglican church in Oxford. He had preached, and afterwards there was a room for questions, and he was come into the room. The room was packed, and one of the students there from the Oxford University asked him this question. He said it was easily detected that the sermon could have been delivered to a congregation of farm laborers or anyone else. What do you say about that? And old Dr. Jones looked at the packed room and he said this, "I came regarding the graduates and the undergraduates of Oxford to be ordinary human clay and miserable sinners like everyone else who needs to be saved." There's the necessity of the invitation. Notice the simplicity of this invitation. Call on the name of the Lord. You see, think of the context here. All who hear the gospel, all who are acquainted with the great facts of the person and work of Jesus Christ, all whose hearts have been awakened, who have a felt need that they must repent before God and believe the good news of the gospel. You see, what men now have heard, what men begin to know, then that has an impact upon them, because now they're called upon to act upon that knowledge. How do they do it? By calling on the name of the Lord. See, calling on the name of the Lord has been going on from early times. And glory to God, it's still going on. Over in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, after Seth begat Enos, it says, then began men to call on the name of the Lord. See, this was an awakening in the days of Seth. This was a move, I believe, of the Holy Spirit of God, a gracious work of God in men's souls. Enos, that means one who's frail and weak. A reminder of man's true state and condition before God. And in light of men being made aware of their fragility and their mortality and their depravity, their true state and condition before God, then at that time, men began to call in the name of the Lord. And if any man or any woman wants to be saved from sin's penalty and sin's power and sin's pleasure, and one day from sin's presence, and saved from hell and eternal consequences of dying in sin, then they should call in the name of the Lord. We could ask the question, why do men need to call in the name of the Lord? Here's the answer, simple, in order to be saved. And here's the way to call on the name of the Lord. You see, it's fundamental. It's elementary. It's foundational. You know, when I think of the gospel is not a few tips on how to live a happy, fulfilled life. It's not about merely joining a church or about obeying a set of rules or trying to keep the Ten Commandments or conforming to a religious code or following a set of church rites and ceremonies. The gospel of the grace of God is grounded in the person and work of Christ. A Savior has been born for sinners. A Savior has lived a perfect sinless life for sinners. A Savior has died an atoning death for sinners. A Savior has shed His blood for sinners. A Savior has rose again for us. He now lives for us. And the Savior calls out to us. And here's His instruction. Here's in counsel. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want you to misread into the Holy Scripture. I don't want to be misrepresented. Call on the name of the Lord, not on the church, not on the pastor or the minister to save you, certainly not on the Pope, certainly not on Mary as a co-redemptrix, for she's not, or call on some rite and ceremony of the church. Listen to this text. Here's Peter. Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ is a God-given name for men to call upon Him. Holy and reverent is His name. His name has been revealed. It's been given. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And you know, His name's above every other name. And at His name every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Even the devil one day, and every demon in hell is going to bow down and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. How do you call? Will you call sincerely? Are you desirous of the Lord? Do you desire to be saved? You call believingly? True faith, of course, is a gift of God implanted by the Holy Spirit in the soul. True faith means trusting in Him, adhering to Him, relying on Christ alone for salvation. You call penitently, calling out of a felt need of being sorry for all and every sin, sins of thought and word and deed, secret sins, knowing sins, presumptuous sins. Isn't it wonderful when you read the Bible this evening, you come across individuals who've called in the name of the Lord. There's a woman called in the Lord. One day, help me. She was facing a big calamity in her family. She had a problem with her daughter, Matthew 15, 25. In the pain and agony of her soul, being broken and burdened, she discovered that if I can be helped, I can only be helped in the Lord. And He honored her. He commended her for her faith. It started, Lord, help me. Didn't Peter, Matthew 14, when he took his eyes of Christ onto the water and the waves, what did he say? Lord, save me, I perish. Think of the dying thief on the cross, and that's a wonderful story in itself. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He repented just before he died. I want you to think thirdly of the individuality of the invitation. For whosoever, See, no matter who you are, your name, your background, your station in life, your status before men, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, healthy in body, sickly in body, whosoever. Here's another wonderful gospel word, a wonderful golden thread in the language of the Bible. Whosoever, you, me, and anyone else. Have you heard the story of John Bunyan of Thetford, who wrote a tremendous book, not only called The Holy War, but Pilgrim's Progress? Have you ever heard his testimony? He was troubled about his sin. He was guilty of his sense of shame before God. He was hesitant to come to Christ, to call upon the Lord. He felt, I'm far too sinful. And the weight of sin kept him back for a long time. But the Spirit of God was at work. The Spirit of God applied the Holy Scriptures to him. And this text came to his mind. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth me from all sin. And he was convicted. He was convinced that if he come to Christ on the ground of the blood, that his sin could be blotted out and covered. And glory to God, he was wonderfully converted. Remember the Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And John Bunyan of Bedford, he loved that word, whosoever. In fact, when he read John 3:16, he was delighted that it didn't say, for God so loved John Bunyan. He thought to himself, if it was said John Bunyan, then I would doubt, because there's many John Bunyans in the world, and especially in England. I wouldn't be sure if it meant me. So he loved the word whosoever. Whosoever's in the context of a world of Jews and Gentiles, you, me, and anyone else who wants to put their name in there. There's the individuality of the invitation. But think also, in closing, of the reality of the invitation. Shall be. You see, there's no ifs or buts here. There's no maybes. It's not might be, but shall be. And I want you to think of the reality of this experience of salvation. It's based on the divine promise of the Lord. This is a sure promise of God who will not go back on his word. A faithful promise. God will not fail any who call upon him in sincerity and in truth and in penitence. You think of the woman, a Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman who had a difficulty in the context of her family, daughter vexed with the devil, and she was broken to go to the Lord. The Lord can help me. And she cried out, Lord, help me. And he helped her in the end. Remember Peter, Lord, save me, I perish. Think of the dying thief. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you see, the Lord answered all these prayers. And if you pray to him like the old publican, God be merciful to me, the sinner, in sincerity and in truth and in penitence and believe in his name, you too can be saved. You know, one of life's greatest blessings is to know that the Lord is with you in the onward march of life. To enjoy the pardon and the knowledge of sins forgiven. To have a full and free and forever pardon. To have peace with God. To know the peace of God even in difficult, trying circumstances. So that you're not mastered by your circumstances, but Christ is your master, and you look to him in every time of trouble and day of need. And of course, we have the prospect of a wonderful future, going to be with Christ forever in heaven. You know, someone taught me a little story, and it was this. Thinking of the summary of the Christian life, being brought into Christ. Not into the church, into Christ. And when you're brought into Christ, then you live for Christ. Peter said in Philippians 1:21, this was his motto for life, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And how did he live out his Christian life? He lived through the strength of Christ. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And living for Christ through the strength of Christ was but the fruit of the work that God had worked into his soul. It wasn't the ground of his salvation. He was in Christ. And of course, those that are in Christ and live for Christ through the strength of Christ go to be with Christ, which tonight is far better. I commend this little text of Scripture to you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Understand its necessity to be saved. That's your greatest need. Understand what that means in a spiritual context. Saved from sin's power, sin's penalty, sin's presence, sin's pleasure. Understand the simplicity of it. All you have to do is call in the name of the Lord. And you can do that individually. And here's the reality. If you do, you'll be saved. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the instruction this evening and how to be saved. And we pray that You will come by Your Holy Spirit and You'll apply the Word of God to all who have heard it. We ask Thee, Lord, to open eyes, open ears, and open hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, if this is man's greatest need, then we pray that Thou would come and teach them their need. We pray that Thou would bring real and true conviction of sin into hearts and into lives. We need the instrumentality and work of Thy Holy Spirit. O God, just as Thou did move in the days of Enos, we ask Thee that Thou would move in our day and in our generation. Thou dost know all about the deepening apostasy in the land. Thou dost know about the religious declension. Thou dost know, Lord, all about the immorality of today. And we cry unto Thee that Thou would remember even Thy dear people. And help us, O God, to discover that we not only can call upon Thee for salvation, but we can call upon Thee for every situation. And we ask Thee, Lord, that it might please Thee to answer prayer. Give household salvation to every dear family that needs it, who is struggling with a son or daughter without Christ, under the control and power of the devil. We ask Thee, Lord, to do what that woman did in bygone day. Lord, help me. Do it for Thy glory. And Lord, save any this hour who need to be saved. Thou dost know those who are listening, those whom Thou hast spoken to. Use Thy word for Thy glory. And, O God, we pray that You'll help us to rejoice that we're on our way to glory and to home, to be with Christ, which is far better. We commit ourselves to Thee now. We pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of Thyself, and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be upon us, both now and evermore. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.